The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Did you see it? Did you see that dunk by Ja Morant last night? Did you see the spectacular that took place in Memphis, Tennessee? I know I saw it. I know my man Jay saw it. Doggy, I'm not so sure. After all, in an age with Ja Morant making highlights and leading SportsCenter time and time and time again, if you listen to Doggy, he's probably complaining because we ain't talking about Elvis. That is what I have to deal with on Wednesday mornings. It's the crew in the house. It's Stephen A. Live in Vegas. Holla at your boy! Woo!
On one today.
Winner takes a 3-2 lead in this opening round series. Morant.
Oh! A jawbreaker!
Young star showing out. Grizzlies will have one last opportunity with 3.7 to go.
Can you take us through the last play?
Go get a bucket, Ja.
Morant drives. Morant! Oh, it's good! Ja Morant with the bucket. A gutty Grizzly win. And Morant is the hero.
What a way to start a Wednesday on First Take. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome into First Take. I'm Christine Williamson filling in for Molly alongside some guys who need no introduction.
Hold on.
Jay Will. What's up?
Hold on. I got to interrupt. First of all, it's lovely seeing you, girl. You and by the way, I've been watching you on the weekends hosting SportsCenter. You go, girl.
Thank you.
Doing
now,
here's my quick question. I didn't know Ebony and Ivory were showing up in First Take. Look at Jay Williams and Mad Dog Russo with the same color suits on. I mean,
I just want you to know, Stephen, I set the tone. I was here since 5 o'clock this morning, so I think he copied me.
I've been here
all morning. Look.
All right. I'm just
you
saying. I just want to throw out Ebony there. Thank God I wasn't wearing that blue today. It would have been bad.
You wearing the mafia colors in Vegas. I see you out there working.
I'm in Vegas. I'm in Vegas. That's what we do.
I love it. All right. Let's start things off with a really good one last night. Game 5 of the Timberwolves-Grizzlies series. Ja Morant put on a show for Grizzlies fans, putting poor Malik Beasley on a poster. He scored the last 13 points for Memphis, and his layup with 1 second left capped off the squad's rally from behind. Down 11 in the fourth, Memphis won 111-109. Now they lead the series 3-2. Ja, how'd you feel after that dunk?
How do you explain how drastically your own game changed after that dunk?
I mean, I really wasn't excited about the dunk. It was over a guard. That's pretty easy. So definitely, you know, ignited the crowd, you know, gave us some energy. And, you know, from then on, I was pretty much just being very aggressive. I'm not going to speak on what else sparked me.
Can you take us through the last play?
Go get a bucket, Ja.
All right, so the Grizzlies need one more win to take the series. If they do, Stephen, I'm going to start with you. How far can Ja take Memphis in the postseason?
Well, I mean, conceivably, he could take them to the NBA Finals when you consider the fact that, you know, Dallas, Luka hasn't been 100%. Donovan Mitchell's got himself hurt. You look at the Warriors right now, you always question their health issues, even though Klay seems to be getting it together. And obviously, Jordan Poole and Steph Curry is there. The Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker out. But I want to say this. It could happen. But I ain't predicting it. I've been with the Warriors since day one, and I ain't jumping off that ship. It's about the Warriors. And even though Ja Morant is spectacular, and he is the future, and damn it, the city of Memphis, Tennessee, take down all them damn Elvis posters. Don't listen to Mad Dog Russo on his radio show and the channel trying to, you know, basically persuade everybody to keep them damn posters up or billboards up of Elvis and encouraging everybody to go to Graceland. All right, you want to go to Graceland, that's fine. But if you really, really want to see the modern day entertainer that Ja Morant is, excuse me, that's the brother that needs to be all over Memphis, Tennessee. Having said all of that, I still expect them to go home in the next round. I expect them to win this series against Minnesota, give Minnesota its props, call Anthony Towns has showed up. Anthony Edwards should be trying to steal that damn last ball because you gave Jada Lane to scoop in the, you know, that spectacular acrobatic layup to win the game. You shouldn't have went for that steal, Anthony Edwards. That was a rookie mistake, bottom line. But in the end, even though you're not a rookie, a second-year player, but in the end, what it comes down to is this. Ja could do these things considering some of the injuries and everything else that has taken place in the Western Conference, but I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I believe that the Warriors are the one team standing in Memphis way, not Phoenix, not Dallas, not Utah, not Minnesota, the Golden State Warriors, Lethal Weapon 3. That's what I think is standing in their way, and that's why it ain't going to happen. But I guess he could if you want to ask the question that way. It ain't going to happen, though.
Take it easy. I mean, geez, they should be out of this series with Minnesota. My God, now you say they could possibly win and get to an NBA final. First off, Ja played terribly in the first three quarters of the game. He was, forget the dunk. He missed a million free throws, did not shoot the ball well. And, you know, everybody making a big deal about this dunk at the end of the third quarter. Minnesota had an 11-point lead with 7 minutes to go in the game. 6:58, they had an 11-point lead. So they weren't that affected by the dunk because they came back in the fourth quarter with an 11-point lead with 6.5 minutes to go. Listen, he is great. He's dynamic going into the basket. He had an unbelievably good fourth quarter, no argument. He's not a great shooter. He made a huge three, but he's not a great shooter. But this is really, to me, more about Minnesota. I heard Jay here kill Finch last week after that terrible loss they had in game three where they blew the 20s. They blew two leads in game three. And there's no way they should have lost the game last night. I mean, they led that game from start to finish. They were the much better team. There's no way in ever they should have lost that game last night. And Edwards, listen, he's 20 years old. He is going to be great. But he doesn't make a lot of people better. And he takes a lot of bad shots. And that's a defensive play that you can't make in that scenario. You cannot give him a lane for a layup. Make them make a jump shot to beat you so you can get the overtime. You can't let him go to the basket. That's what he does well. But the idea now, Stephen A., that we think there's a chance they could scare the Warriors is absolutely absurd. They should be. I think they're going to lose game six, and they could easily lose game seven. They should have lost last night. They lost game one. So this idea that they're home free against a Timberwolves team that has done nothing but shoot themselves in the foot is a little strong. But that's what you do. Morant plays like he's great, and now all of a sudden the Grizzlies are going to win the NBA championship. Jay will help us out here, but that's what you do. I'm here to calm you down a little bit.
In all due respect, Stephen A. Smith did not say they're going to win the NBA championship.
He said they could.
He said, I guess they would could. But he's picking Golden State. Like, and I'm going to hold him to Golden State because he's been Golden State all year long, and I've been on Memphis. Let me slow things down real quick. Two things can be true at the same time. First off, Stephen A., what we're seeing in Memphis is an atrocity. Chris Finch, not only did you leave Karl Anthony Towns in game one in foul trouble where he only played 24 minutes and you left him in the game with three fouls where he got his fourth in the first half, what are we doing? And then you blow a 21-point lead. They go on a 21-0 run the following couple games later. You don't call a timeout. And then last night, entering the fourth, you're up by 12. You can't hold on to the lead. So I agree with what you're saying, Russo, to a degree that Minnesota should be up in this series. But as we all know basketball, it's all about getting and advancing. It doesn't matter how you advance. It matters that you advance. Stephen A. Smith, this is what I'm so excited about. We saw Joe Burrow take such a leap, right? When he got to that, he got a chance to get to the AFC Championship game where he got a chance to go against Patrick Mahomes and he was able to win that game. This is the opportunity for Ja Morant. I hear all the barking. I've been on Memphis' train since the beginning of the year. I was the one that came out and said, I think they could be in the NBA Finals. I picked them to get to the NBA Finals. I am going to stick with that, even though I think Golden State is the better team. But this is the moment that we've all been waiting for. They're going to get by Minnesota. And when they do, now here's your chance, Ja Morant. All the trash talking, all the stuff that I think I know you are on the biggest stage possible going against Stephen Curry, Jordan Poole, and Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. If there's a moment to show the world that Memphis basketball has arrived, it's about going against the Golden State Warriors. And Stephen A., I know you owe me a Tom Ford suit. So here's what I'm willing to do. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Do you want to run it back? Double or Nothing, two Tom Ford suits, that Memphis will beat the Golden State Warriors or nothing at all.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
Do you want to
run? I'm sticking with Memphis.
I'm riding with Memphis.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, there's been two Tom Ford suits, too. No, I want two now.
They're not cheap. They're expensive. And so, yeah, we can take that bet because I ain't.
I'm hoping you get back in the game.
Okay. Let me say this, Doggy. Yeah. I love me some Memphis Grizzlies. I respect the hell out of them. I love Desmond Bane. I love this kid, Brandon Clark. Boy, he is something special. Mm-hmm. I mean, his activity and his energy off the bench, that was a big-time rebound and putback that he had late in the game last night. He finished with 21 points. This brother is something nice. I love his acquisition on that squad. Jaren Jackson Jr., I'm a fan of his as well. Dylan Brooks, all of these guys. I love their moxie. I love their swag. I love all of that. And they can shoot. I'm talking about Bane and Brooks and these brothers. They can shoot the basketball now. Now, Ja is problematic in terms of shooting from the perimeter. He made a big-time three last night, but that's not his necessary skill set, and I think that's going to come back to haunt him. Now, John going to get you 30. He going to get you 30, 35 with the tempo that Golden State plays with or whatever. I do agree with Doggy. They're going to lose game six to Minnesota. I think they lose game six at Minnesota. I think this now is a seven-game series. I thought they'd lose in five. Give Minnesota props, okay? I doubt they would lose in five. Now I think it's going seven because I think they're going to win game six, but Memphis will come back, close the deal in game seven, and then they gonna go up against Lethal Weapon 3. And it's a different animal in that regard. So I will take your bet, Jay Williams. Double or nothing. Ain't no problem for me. You understand? I got no problems with it. And Doggy, you be respectful. Everybody just calm down. First, you're talking about stars. You're always talking about greatness. You're always talking about moments. But then when Ja Morant gives you a moment,
you want to act like everybody needs to calm down. You want to put these guys in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you want to give him championships.
You know what?
He made it. Listen, he is. I'm not stupid. I watch the games. He is great. I get that. But don't put him on these levels. You guys, everybody in this day and age, put these guys on these levels before they're there yet.
Who put him on what level?
Well, he's got him in the fray. Elvis Presley. He said, take down the billboard.
You're fabricating stuff over here. First of all, calm down. Calm down. No one would ever accuse you of being stupid. You're quite brilliant, I might add. Just look at all the work that you're doing. And, you know, high heat on the MLB Network. You got your own podcast now.
You got your own channel.
I mean, give me a break. Nobody thinks you're stupid, not by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what you are? You know what you are, Doggy?
Which is that?
You're flip-flop. You flip.
I'm going to tell you how you do it.
Because in one hand, Mad Dog Russo, ladies and gentlemen, will sit up there and hold everybody accountable. Oh, where's the moment? I mean, so what? They got these points. But when they really, really count it, what did they do? That's what Doggy does. And then the second somebody like Ja Morant comes and does it, oh, you guys got him up here like he's a Hall of Famer. No, we're acknowledging that the kind of moments you say you want these dudes to have, he gave it to you. So what now, Doggy?
They haven't won a series yet. You heard that, Jay. Minnesota was better than Memphis early part of this series. I listened. I heard. I mean, take it easy. All right, he made a nice layup. Well, Edwards made a mistake.
Congratulations to Doggy. I thought he would say Koozie or Hal Gray or something.
I thought Koozie.
Don't say Koozie.
Right. Yeah, we're talking Koozie later. We're talking Koozie later. All right, Jay, thanks for blessing us with the ebony to Russo's ivory this fine morning.
I love the suit. It looks really good.
Two, Stephen
A. I'm going to want two.
Two. Or zero. Because I ain't going to owe you anything after that series.
I love Memphis.
But the Warriors are beating them. They're winning that series.
I think Golden State's a better team. I'm just saying, if they don't turn out to be, don't give me a platform on your show. Don't give me one on your show.
All right, let's take our talents to South Beach. The Miami Heat took game five in their first round series against the Hawks, winning the series 4-1, and they did it without Jimmy Bucket and without Kyle Lowry. Butler was ruled out due to right knee soreness, while Lowry has yet to return from a left hamstring strain that he suffered in game three. Here's head coach Eric Spoelstra on the team's depth.
It seemed that two components that define your season define this game, your defense and your depth.
Yeah, no question. This was just a really inspiring team win. You know, everybody that played had their fingerprints on this. We clearly had some adversity in this game, not having Kyle or Jimmy. And our group doesn't even blink. You know, that's not even something we have to address. We just pivot and put in the game plan. And everybody just, you know, gets ready, tapes their ankles, and gets out there and competes.
All right, so right knee soreness, general wear and tear. Is it a bad look for Jimmy Buckets to sit out for game five, Russo?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, my
goodness,
he went around like a gazelle on Sunday night. I mean, he took the last second shot there in game three, and he played very well. Now he's not. If it was 2-2, would he have played? Of course he would have played.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Down 1-3 would have played. This is a playoff game. I was shocked that he did not play yesterday. I mean, I saw Larry Bird, and I hate to bring up the old time guys.
Of course.
But Larry Bird is laying on the ground with a bad back. He can't even walk. And he's out. So I'll give you another one. Isaiah with a broken ankle against the Lakers in game
that
six.
That was the final. Seven.
Look at Bird. Look at Bird right there. And all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler
is on the ground.
He's got knee inflammation. Oh, my God. This is the NBA playoffs. It's not like he played 82 games either. He already played 55 games, 60 games. Go out there.
57.
How many games? 67?
57.
That's still 14 less than the 80, or 15 less than the 82. I mean, 81. Sorry.
Actually,
82? 25. 82 games.
Exactly,
I mean,
25.
Come on now, Steve. Steve, now I'll say this. I'll say this. Be fair. You were right. Miami's going to beat Philly. I was dead wrong. Give yourself credit. You picked it last week. I don't get a mulligan. I got to stick with Philly. They get by Toronto. If Doc can finally win a series with a big lead, they get by Toronto. So you're right on that, 100%. The depth, he's a good coach. They play good defense. They took Young out, 1,000%. But you got to be fair, Steve. Be fair. Now, come on. You're a good sports
I'm always
Steve.
Fair.
Be fair. How is Jimmy Butler not playing in game five of a playoff series that can close out a team? Now, come on. Lowry, all right, he missed the game four. Where is Butler? He's supposed to be the best player on their team, their leader. You got to fight through it and get out there and play. And he knows if they win, they got 6 days off. They're not playing game one of the next series until Monday. It's not this weekend. They play the Philadelphia-Toronto winner on Monday night, game one. He's got 6 days. You got to gut through the game. I was shocked, and I am surprised at you, who is a guy who understands old school. Willis Reed! All right? Come on. Play the game. I was floored that he didn't play that. And I'm surprised at you. I have to admit, I'm surprised.
For those who don't know what you're talking about, Willis Reed came out on the court for the New York Knicks, okay, to deliver a championship in 1973, just so everybody knows, okay? All right, this is like 50 years ago because everybody doesn't know what Doggy's talking about when he brought up Willis Reed. You can't just say Willis Reed on first take and don't explain who Willis Reed is, Doggy. You can't do that. You got to enunciate it. You got to clarify and you got to specify, okay? That's number one. Number two, Jimmy Butler this year, ankle injury, toe injury, tailbone injury, okay? He's had a multitude of injuries, all right? And now his knee was aggravated, all right, in game four, going into game five. So what does he do? Okay, you've got enough horses there. You got a 3-1 lead. You're back in Miami, and you said, okay, take this rest. Not only that, keep in mind, because players have said this, and they as much as I get on them about this, because I can't stand these guys missing so many damn games, enough is enough. You're right about that. You know how I feel about it, all right? But when you got guys that are rough riders, that have reputations as playing through injuries and stuff like that, you got to give those guys the benefit of the doubt. And in this regard, especially so, I have been told that a lot of times these owners force the medical staff to force these players to sit out because you want to preserve them for their contracts. You're spending all of this money. You don't want these guys out there in what you deem as unnecessary. There have been times where players are fighting with the strength and conditioning guys, with the medical staff, with the executives who don't want them to play, and they're fighting to play. This notion that players could just snap their finger and get out the court or get out on the court, regardless of what the organization says, in some instances, that's applicable. In Miami, where Pat Riley is running the show, not so much. So you got to keep that in mind as well. Dougie, in the end, Miami, Jimmy Butler, when it really counts, is going to be out there. Not a guy that just takes time off. That's not who he is.
Well, I mean, remember, Jordan played after a broken foot when Reinsdorf didn't want him to play in 1986. Butler is a big enough player and a big enough star that if he wanted to go out there and play Game 5, Pat Riley, Mickey Arison, and Spoelstra are not going to tell him he can't play. It's a little bit like Kershaw with Dave Roberts with the perfect game. Kershaw's good enough and big enough star to say, give me the ball, I'm pitching the bottom of the eighth inning. And he didn't do it.
He shouldn't have come out.
He shouldn't have come out, right. Now, Butler's the same situation. You mean to tell me if yesterday
He's
Jimmy Butler told
–
hold it now. You mean to tell me that if Jimmy Butler in a playoff game – this is not Sacramento in January – a playoff game, he didn't say, hey, Eric – I don't want to go back to Atlanta. We almost lost as it was, 97-94. We got Lowry out. Let's put this team away. I got 6 days off if we win. I'll figure out a way to gut through the game. You're telling me that Jimmy Butler couldn't tell that to Spoelstra? I don't buy it. Now, he's a big star. I don't buy that. I'm sorry.
No. He's not D-Wade. He's not LeBron. Oh, no. Jimmy Butler's a star, but he ain't on that level. So let's be very, very clear. What they could tell Pat Riley, that's not necessarily what Jimmy Butler can do. Remember, this is the same Jimmy Butler that the coach had to be restrained from going after him on the damn court just weeks ago, along with Haslam, okay, his teammate. So let's keep in mind, that ain't happened to LeBron. That didn't happen to D-Wade. Understand, there's levels to this. So you're wrong about that. I do get your overall point, and I agree with you, but there are exceptions, and you should take those things into consideration instead of judging everybody old school. And don't bring up Isaiah Thomas, the man. That was game 6 of the NBA Finals. Let's remember that, okay? You had a championship on the line. They had a 3-2 lead. And the Lakers ended up winning that game and then winning game 7. So let's remember that. You had Larry Bird with bad back. When he needed to sit out, he sat out. When he could play, he tried to play. Major, major props to him. We understand some of these guys in today's NBA game are absolutely positively pathetic. But Jimmy Butler ain't one of them.
If it was 2-2, would he have played?
Yes.
If they were down 3-1, would he have played?
Yes.
All right. So why doesn't he play a playoff game?
I think so.
Oh, come on. An elimination game he would have played. You know that.
No.
I mean, no. He wouldn't have played in an elimination game at home? Are you kidding me?
No, he would have played. He would have played in an elimination game.
Absolutely. He would have been there. He'd have been that game. All right, let's talk about another team in the East. The Brooklyn Nets, their season is over, and Kevin Durant had an uncharacteristically bad first-round series, which resulted in Brooklyn being swept by the Celtics. After the sweep, KD said he had no regrets and that things happen, but Charles Barkley had an interesting take on what KD's role is.
I try to tell y'all, all these bus riders, they don't mean nothing to me. All these guys walk around with these championship rings. Hey, y'all bus riders. But let
That's
me tell
two
you something.
In a row, Chuck.
When you're the bus driver and you got all that pressure where you have to play well, are you going to get the blame? That's a different animal.
Coach, Kevin Durant's not on the bus. He's just not on the bus.
Yeah, no.
But he's never on the bus.
What has happened when he was driving the bus?
Well, he's never just.
No, what was happening when he was driving the bus?
He lost to the finals.
Okay, he did. And then when he was in Oklahoma City again.
But he was driving. You don't think he was the bus driver in Golden State?
No, I do not.
You don't think he was the best player on that team?
No, I do not.
So we all know that Durant loves to respond to things on social media. So he did, saying, where would Chuck be without the big homies? With pics of Barkley throughout the years alongside Hall of Famers like Dr. J, Moses Malone from his early years, as well as Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and Scottie Pippen late in his career. So first, how do you guys feel about what Barkley said about Durant? Steven, I'll go first to you.
Well, first of all, listen, I don't think that Kevin Durant is a bus rider. Kevin Durant is a superstar in this game. He had a bad series. We understand that. But he's a two-time champion, a two-time NBA Finals MVP. And where I completely contradict Charles Barkley is that Kevin Durant was the best player on the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry was a superstar, no doubt about it, and Klay Thompson and the Splash Brothers, the greatest shooting backcourt in history. And obviously he went to them, but no one would doubt that Kevin Durant was the best player on the Golden State Warriors. As great as Steph Curry is, Kevin Durant was the best player on the Golden State Warriors. And anybody who knows basketball outside of Charles Barkley knows that. That's number one. Number two, however, is that KD clapping back, I thought his clapback was inaccurate. Because if you're going to post a picture of Charles Barkley in Houston with Hakeem Olajuwon and Scottie Pippen, well, who was the face of that franchise? It was Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. It was not Barkley. Yeah, Barkley went there with expectations and what have you, but that was after he was in Philly and after he was in Phoenix. The reality of the situation is that was never, Houston was never Charles Barkley's franchise. It was Hakeem Olajuwon's franchise. In the case of the Brooklyn Nets, this is KD's franchise. And even though I disagree with Barkley because I think it's a bit harsh to call him a bus rider, I understand theoretically where he's coming from. What he's saying is that you're supposed to be the leader, but everybody looks at you being deferential to Kyrie Irving. And that is not a person who should be followed. Kyrie should be following you. So I don't agree with Charles Barkley literally because I thought it was a bit too harsh to classify KD in that manner. But from a theoretical perspective, I understand what he was saying. You're supposed to be the leader, but there's too much following that you engaged in because of Kyrie Irving. And that is something that Kevin Durant is going to have to live with, which is why I said months ago, regardless of the fact that I feel otherwise and a lot of people will feel otherwise, there's also a lot of people that are going to remember KD most for being the guy that left Steph Curry to join Kyrie Irving than they even remember him for the championships he's won, because that's how much of a detrimental effect Kyrie Irving has had on Kevin Durant and his career in Brooklyn.
I agree with him on some, and of course I agree with him. I disagree with him on others. First off, Durant got it wrong. It wasn't going to Houston that Barkley jumped the ship. It was when he wanted out of Philadelphia because he couldn't beat Jordan in the playoffs. And so he said, get me out of here. And he ended up going to Phoenix in that Hornacek trade. And as it turns out, the one great chance he had to win a championship, he lost to Jordan anyway.
Jordan was in the way.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, I blame Barkley for bailing out of Philly more so than I blame him bailing out of Phoenix. And Durant's, Instagram thing had him with the Houston players. He was older then in his career. You know, he had played a long time. I can give him a break.
You remember that, Dougie? You remember that. Way to go, Dougie. Way to go.
I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm not stupid. Like you. I know what I'm talking about. All right, that's the first thing. Second thing, why is Durant even discussing this? This is what he's worried about? I mean, he had a major issue with Rappaport there. Remember, he got a big issue with Rappaport. He's fighting left and right. He gets all upset about that. He's a big sports fan, Durant.
Michael Rappaport.
So he's a big sports fan. So he gets all wrapped up in what everybody says. And I love Durant. Steven knows that. I'm a big Durant fan. He's one of my favorites. I love the guy. But, I mean, why is he worrying about what Barkley? Was he running home to TNT to see the postgame of what Barkley, Kenny, and Shaq say?
What was he supposed to do? That's where the games are.
Why is he watching a game after he lost game four and got swept? He should be freaking in his room with the lights out.
He can't watch basketball now?
He should be in his room with the lights out, basically upset. He should be watching TV. Anyway, why is he wrapped up in what Barkley says? I have no reason for that. I don't get it. Why are you even worried about it? You just got swept. That's the last thing you should worry about is Charles Barkley. But you're right on one thing. His issue is he's got to basically take over the team. Durant is a follower. Durant doesn't want to lead. I mean, he's the best player. You're right. Best player in the Warriors, too. He should tell Kyrie, hold on now. Get your shots. All right? I came here because of you, and I'm better than you. Get your shots. You want to be on this ball club with me, you get your shot. You're not playing 29 games. You're not sitting there, you're fasting. I can't complain about, it's a religious issue. But get your shots. You're going to play home and away. I don't want to hear any nonsense. No road trips because your kid's got a birthday or you got a birthday party like last year. I'm the boss. I'm the best player. And that's what Durant doesn't do. And you and I are on the same page with that. Durant's issue is you got to be the leader of the team. You have to be the guy. I'm the best player. I'm getting paid the most. We got swept here. I didn't play well, but I didn't get a lot of help. And this is going to stop. So he should put the stop to Irving, and Irving's going to listen to Durant because Durant's better than Irving. That is my issue with Durant. That, and well, why is he ever worried about Charles Barkley? Well, let Charles Barkley talk. That's what Charles does well. Why are you worried about Barkley, for crying out loud? I don't understand
that. Well, let me say this. You're wrong about several things. Allow me to retort. Number one, Kyrie ain't listening to anybody. You know what I'm saying? Left Duke early. Comes in the NBA, didn't want to vibe with LeBron, gets to Boston, couldn't lead Tatum and Brown, all right? They made it to the conference finals without him, and then when he got there, they got bounced out in the second round. And then after that, he comes to Brooklyn, and you know what? He's doing what he wants to do. And Kyrie ain't listening. That's number one. Number two, you sit up there and talk about why is he watching the games? Well, what the hell is he supposed to do? He just lost. He's supposed to sit in a dark room and never watch another basketball game until next season. He can't enjoy the NBA playoffs. He lost. I understand that. And he's probably miserable. Maybe watching it will motivate him to be the leader we need him to be and to not tolerate stuff from Kyrie Irving. Maybe, just like LeBron tweeted and said, listen, I'm never missing the playoffs again in my career because this hurts so damn bad to watch these games and I'm not a part of it. Maybe that's what Durant, that's the kind of effect this will have on Durant because he ain't accustomed to missing the playoffs either. So you saying that he shouldn't be watching the games, shame on you, okay? Doggy watches the game, why can't he watch the game?
It was 102-77, Dallas was killing Utah. What is there to watch? But you tell me he got back to New York.
Did you watch it?
How'd you know about it?
How'd you know about it? How'd you know
they were down 25? Utah game. They were down by 40 points. What's there to watch?
Did you watch it?
No.
Did you not watch the game?
Second half,
what,
no, I got to get up and prepare for you. No, I did not. I got to prepare
well,
for you.
I did. And number three, this thing, I mean, what happened to the Mad Dog Russo that I know and love that didn't mind a guy articulating his thoughts, didn't mind a guy being man enough to be honest about what he feels and willingness to clap back and defend himself? Now, listen, we live in the age of social media and beyond. The advent of social media, millions upon millions of people got something to say. If Kevin Durant, who is a brilliant basketball player and a brilliant basketball mind, feels compelled to speak up for himself, I applaud that. I'd rather him do it than sending one of your minions to do it or one of your hanger-ons or somebody to do something like that. No, he does it himself, okay? I respect that. I respect the fact that, guess what? If I say something and Kevin Durant don't like it, Kevin Durant's going to come right back at me. Draymond Green going to come right back at me. D-Wade, when he was playing, will come right back at me rather than sending people to do it for you. They do it themselves. I remember Kobe Bryant used to scare the living hell out of me because, guess what? If I said something and he didn't agree with me, Kobe Bryant himself, God rest his soul, I would get a call directly for him. What the hell did you just say? I know you didn't just say that, Steve. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You understand? Because you can respect that. This is a superstar who knows the game backwards and forwards, plays on an elite level, and is a champion. And if he has a problem with what Mad Dog Russo, Stephen A., or anybody, or Joe Blow has to say, he's going to speak up directly himself. That is something I respect. I'm not going to malign Kevin Durant for speaking up on his own behalf, and you shouldn't either. You should be ashamed that you're coming at him for that.
102-77. They lost to Boston early in the day. Kevin, here's what you do. You talk to the media. You go back to New York City. You have yourself a Coca-Cola.
He TiVo'd it.
You shut the TV off.
DVR.
You put your music on. And you sit in your bed and you wonder, how the heck did we just get swept by the Boston Celtics? And I got to do better. And I got to get Kyrie Irving to get on the same page. You don't sit there and watch the Jazz and the Mavericks and having your ears to the TV to make sure Barkley is in line. That's the last thing you do.
So what you gonna do next?
Kevin Durant. That's the last thing you do.
So, Dougie, let me ask you this. What you going to do next? You going to tell him to get the sage that Kyrie Irving sprinkled around TD Bank Garden? You going to tell him to do that, too? You going to tell him to make himself some hot chamomile tea and lay in the bed, put on your headphones, turn off the lights, don't watch some TV, listen to Al Green or Teddy Pendergrass or the Osley Brothers or somebody? That's what you going to do next? You going to tell him that, too? You going to tell him what pajamas to wear next? I mean, who are you? He can't sit back and watch it. He probably DVR'd it. went home and just said, yo, I watched this and this is what I saw. I mean, the TNT postgame show is pretty much on it till 1 o'clock in the damn morning. What's the problem? I can't believe that you saying this kind of stuff. Would you,
hold on.
Are you going to tell his mama to make
hold on, cookies
Crosby,
and milk Stills, too? Hold on, Crosby, Stills, and Nash and take a gummy. I don't know, but don't watch Charles Barkley.
I know for a fact we're going to see plenty of KD on social media in the offseason for sure. He's already been tweeting a lot.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Deebo Samuel wants out of San Francisco. He told ESPN's Jeff Darlington last week that he has requested a trade, and reports noted that Samuel has refused to engage the Niners on a potential contract extension. He is entering the final year of his rookie contract, a deal that comes with a cap number just under $5 million for 2022. So knowing all of that, is Deebo making a mistake for requesting a trade, Stephen A.?
Oh, hell no. He's doing the right thing in requesting a trade, because what he's saying, and this is what I appreciate about him, Doggy, in this regard. He's a multi-purpose player. He can be a wide receiver. He can play outside the numbers. He could be a slot receiver playing in between the numbers. He can come out of the backfield and run the football for you as well. Hell, if you needed him to play tight end on a few snaps, he could do that for you too. That level of versatility, because of the combination of his speed, his strength, his route running ability, his hands, all of those things taken into consideration makes him incredibly valuable. Here's the problem. You know, do you remember a name, I believe, was it DeMarco Murray for the Cowboys? Remember that name, Dougie? Remember that name?
Yeah, good running back. Yep.
If you remember, one time the Dallas Cowboys ran him like, what was it, 322 times or something like that in the season, right? Warm out, and then didn't give him any money. See, Deebo and the rest of the NFL knows this as players. And so if you're going to be utilized and valued to such a degree, you know, on the field of play, Then off the field to play in that negotiating room, they need to pay you. He knows that Kyle Shanahan, you got a guy like Trey Lance that's young. You've got, you know, porn star Jimmy. That's what I call him, Mr. Porn Star Jimmy, because we know about him in Malibu, all right? But Jimmy Garoppolo, you know that you need somebody like Debo and obviously a George Kittle to offset the mistake that youth and Trey Lance would make, or an experienced guy that's prone to mistakes from time to time and Jimmy Garoppolo can make. So you're going to utilize Debo Samuels. That's not going to work for him. It's going to work against him. It's going to work for the 49ers, but not for him. So I applaud his position in making sure he wants out now, because what he wants to do is either go to a team that's going to pay him or to a team that's going to utilize him less so he's not worn out and prevented from getting his money down the line. And that's what his thinking is, and I applaud that. I don't disagree with him one bit.
Yeah, I do. And be careful with these receivers. You're going to hear Devontae Adams moan and groan about where's Aaron Rodgers. He wanted out of Green Bay to play with Carr. Carr is not in the same league as Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's not.
You're going to hear Tariq Hill moan and groan about Tua when Tua can't throw the ball past 8 feet. He's going to get annoyed that he can't get the ball. Where's Mahomes? So they got the money, but then they go to a new team and they play 20 weeks and they realize, you know what, I'm not scoring touchdowns. I'm not having any fun because they're not playing with the same kind of quality.
But that's not the same situation with Debo.
Well, I think it is, because he's in a great system. He's got Kittle. He's got a great offensive coach. They utilize their personnel properly. What, he's going to go to the Jets, and all of a sudden the Jets are going to become this great team? We know that Wilson's going to be some great quarterback. The Jets, who can't get out of their own way year after year after year, so he thinks the grass is greener on the other side by going to the New York Jets? Really? I don't buy that. He's not going to get paid anyway, Steve. He goes to the Jets now. They don't need money. The free agent period is over. They're not going to get his contract extension. He'll get it after this year. But he's not going to get it now anyway. And he's going to get it in San Francisco if he plays well. They give it to him eventually.
No, he's not.
He's going to get paid, Steven. He's got another year at $4 million. He's going to get his money. Why push now? I don't understand.
Listen. First things first. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, if you're listening, I'm a fan. They've done a tremendous job. There's just no getting around it. And I feel bad because despite the fact that Kyle Shanahan was an offensive coordinator in Atlanta when they gave up the 28-3 lead to the Patriots, and then obviously they had a 20-10 lead when he was the head coach of San Francisco against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they lost that lead in the fourth quarter as well, which is a bad spot for him. Kyle Shanahan is an exceptional coach. He's a superstar coach as far as I'm concerned. I respect the hell out of the guy. And John Lynch coming out of the booth to do the job that he has done as general manager, mad respect and love for him too. They both deserve credit. This is not an insult towards them. They're doing the right thing for their franchise. I'm just saying that if you're Debo Samuels and you expose yourself to more attrition this upcoming season, you're going to have less value next year. And this is football, doggy. You know this. This is the National Football League. One play can end your career. One play. He got to go and get it and try to get his money now. And if not his money, then subject himself to lesser risk so he can ultimately get the money down the line. That's not going to happen in San Francisco. And you know it. It's not going to happen.
I mean, all of a sudden now he doesn't run the football. He was dancing up a tree when he ran the ball all over Green Bay in a postseason game in January. You and I were here. He was going crazy. He played
great. That's not what I'm saying.
Now all of a sudden he feels he's going to be worn out if they give him seven or eight carries a game. I don't get it.
No, what I'm saying to you, because of the manner in which they utilized him and how effective he was, they won't go against that if he's in the lineup. And so being exposed to that degree elevates the level of risk. He's trying to get paid.
He won't get the ball like that in regular season games. He got the carries in that game against Green Bay because the game was a huge game. It was a playoff game. Week 9, they're going to take it easy. They're not
going
to wear him out. The idea is to keep him
ball.
Healthy for 20 games, 18 games.
He's going to get the ball like that because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be his quarterback, and Kyle Shanahan wants to win games. He ain't stupid. He's going to give the ball to the dudes that are going to get the job done, okay? You ain't on First Take. You ain't on some other show being with somebody else. You on First Take with Stephen A., baby. Why? Because it's a winning formula. That's why, doggy. That's why you're on here, because I know that's a winning formula. You ain't a scrub. I'm allergic to scrubs. Don't want any parts of them. I don't want any parts of them in television. I don't want any parts of them in radio. I don't want any parts of them in football, basketball. I don't give a damn what sport it is. I am allergic to scrubs, okay? And damn it, and so is Kyle Shanahan. He's going to give him the ball. He's going to give it to somebody else. He's going to give it to him.
Week 8, he's not going to give him the ball 30 times. Oh, my God. No, he's not. And then he's going to go to the Jets, and in week 10 when they're 0-8, I can't believe I'm with the Jets. He's going to be motoring and going. He doesn't get the football enough. Jeez,
hey,
he's in a good situation.
Hey.
Why would you leave a good situation? He was in the NFC championship game. Why would he leave that? Why would he leave it?
Because he's trying to get paid. You can appreciate that with all the jobs you have.
Oh, my God. Listen, nobody's a better capitalist than you, my friend.
See, Nobody. Nay, I'm disappointed you didn't say I wasn't a scrub. What's up with that?
Oh, you're not a scrub.
Okay,
oh, you're a winner, girl. You're a winner. You turn the sports center out. I mean, come on now. I know all about you.
Okay, good.
I know all about you, winners.